Tonight, Bill Cosby ordered to stand trial on charges he drugged and sexually assaulted a woman. What prosecutors are revealing and what his defense is saying about his accuser. TSA shakeup. The head of security forced out as outrage grows over long lines and his big money bonus. Trump's fishy falsehood, a widely debunked conspiracy theory about the death of one of the Clintons' closest friends. And as Trump attacks Bill Clinton's history with women, what we found in the archives. Out of line, the VA secretary compares veterans waiting for care to people waiting on lines at Disneyland. Tonight calls for him to resign. And living with a mystery illness, not knowing what's wrong. Tonight, celiac disease and the test that could change your life. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. For years, he made America laugh, whether as the Jell-O pitchman or as the patriarch of the Huxtable family. But Bill Cosby's slow-motion fall from grace under an avalanche of sexual allegations took an even more serious turn today. Cosby ordered to stand trial on criminal sexual assault charges. The comic icon facing the possibility of a 10-year prison sentence if convicted of a crime that allegedly occurred more than a decade ago. Today, Cosby's lawyers previewed just how they plan to discredit his accuser. NBC's Stephanie Gosk reports from the courthouse in Pennsylvania.
Once America's dad, now turned defendant, Bill Cosby needed assistance walking into court today. Despite his lawyer's best efforts, the judge ruled there was enough evidence to go to trial.
We're going to move forward on the case and look forward to getting a trial date.
Cosby is fighting criminal charges that he sexually assaulted former Temple University employee Andrea Constant more than a decade ago in his Pennsylvania home. In court, a former detective read a statement Constant gave police in 2005, detailing what she said happened the night of the alleged assault. Cosby invited her over for dinner, according to the statement, offering her wine and unspecified pills. He urged me to take them. Constant told detectives the pills made her dizzy. I got scared. I thought I was having a bad reaction to something. I had no strength in my legs. In Constant's account, Cosby then started inappropriately touching her under her shirt and pants as she slipped in and out of consciousness. She told detectives when she came to that my bra was over my breasts, up by my neck. In a statement Cosby gave to police in 2005 that was referenced in court today, he admitted sexual contact occurred, but said it was consensual. Today, his defense attorney called Constant's story inconsistent and said it lacked credibility.
The evidence presented today in a Montgomery County courtroom confirms that William Cosby is not guilty.
It is the only criminal case against Cosby. But there are multiple ongoing lawsuits. More than 55 women have come forward accusing Cosby of sexual misconduct. Cosby has repeatedly denied them all. Some of those accusers could potentially be called to testify in the Andrea Constant case.
This case could be won or lost based on whether other women are allowed to speak at this trial.
Heidi Thomas could be one of them.
This is our case. I don't get a chance to face him in court for me. So Andrea Constant is doing it for all of us, myself included.
Andrea Constant did not testify herself today. She will have to when this goes to trial. The judge set an arraignment date for July 20th and then turned to Cosby and said, good luck. Lester?
All right, Stephanie Goss tonight. Thank you. Now to that big shakeup at the TSA. Just days before the Memorial Day kickoff to the summer travel season, the man in charge of airport security operations nationwide has been removed from his post, with the agency under fire for those hours-long checkpoint lines. Also questions about his hefty bonus and why he was reassigned rather than being fired. NBC's Tom Costello was back on the story for us tonight.
Relieved of duty tonight, Assistant TSA Administrator Kelly Hogan, the man in charge of TSA checkpoint security operations, who was also paid $90,000 in merit bonuses over 13 months, while TSA screeners failed multiple tests involving undercover agents who smuggled mock weapons through checkpoints.
At the same time that the agency was failing its security tests, it makes no sense. The guy still works at the TSA. We've got to figure out what his new job is.
Hogan has been reassigned, not fired. It turns out few executives at the TSA are ever fired. NBCNews.com has obtained employment data from the Office of Personnel Management. While 1,300 TSA employees are fired on average each year, often for criminal acts, only one executive was terminated between 2011 and 2015. TSA whistleblowers insist the agency's problems run deep.
We're mismanaging our resources. It's a lack of leadership holding people accountable. We've shattered trust between management and TSOs.
Today, the TSA chief admitted there have been failings at multiple levels.
I think it is the case that we had an institutional failure and not a failure of any one individual.
Among those failings, cutting thousands of TSA screening positions just before a record surge in passengers, leading to long lines and thousands of passengers missing their flights.
It's very frustrating. I think it's ridiculous and it's unnecessary.
Also today, the TSA leadership at Chicago O'Hare has been replaced after last week's 2 and 3 hour lines. One of our teams went through O'Hare today and found just a 20-minute wait.
All of the major airlines are telling their customers, don't cut it short. If you go to the airport for a flight, get there 2 hours before a domestic flight, 3 hours before international. And once the kids are out of school and vacation season begins, expect a big surge in holiday traffic. Lester?
All right, Tom. Of course, it's all about keeping us safe when we fly. And on that subject, some scary moments today at the nation's second largest airport. A threat against an inbound flight at Los Angeles International triggered a large-scale, heavily armed response by police and SWAT officers. Military jets scrambled, and some passengers left terrified. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has details.
They received some type of threat against
the American Eagle regional jet taxied to a remote end of LAX and was immediately met by an armored vehicle and a SWAT team.
Our aircraft has landed safely.
Police methodically moving in, responding to a very specific threat. A caller saying two armed men were aboard. Officers and a bomb-sniffing dog boarding the plane. Passengers ordered to show their hands. The search took 20 minutes.
Actually, yes. On the chair in
and
front
then,
of you.
And then on the chair, on the headrest in front of us. And we couldn't move or touch our anything.
American Eagle Flight 5931 departed Houston just after 7 a.m. With 71 people aboard, two F-16 fighter jets were scrambled to escort the plane and its passengers, a small army waiting on the ground.
When we got here, we saw the fire trucks, and we thought it was something else. We didn't know, but then they said it was a bomb threat. So for us to sit still and put our hands up.
With no explosives and no weapons found, passengers and baggage were rescreened and bused to a nearby terminal. Finally, the all clear. After some very tense moments. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
And the flying public growing anxious to know what brought down Egypt Air Flight 804. Was it an accident or terrorism? But there are conflicting accounts of the plane's final moments. One member of the team examining the victim's remains now reportedly says burns suggest an explosion occurred on board. But the head of Egypt's forensics agency says that's totally false. The cause of last week's crash remains a frustrating mystery. The head of the Department of Veterans Affairs is facing a growing controversy after he compared long wait times at veterans hospitals to standing in line at Disneyland. Now, amid calls for his resignation, Secretary Robert McDonnell is expressing deep regrets. NBC News national correspondent Peter Alexander has more on this for us.
Tonight, the firestorm and the fallout.
This is not make-believe. This is not Disneyland. Veterans have died waiting in line for their care.
House Speaker Paul Ryan saying he was dumbfounded after VA Secretary Robert McDonald compared veterans' waits for health care to waits at a theme park.
When you go to Disney, do they measure the number of hours you wait in line or the number, you know, what's important? What's important is what's your satisfaction with the experience.
McDonald, a former Army Ranger and retired Procter & Gamble CEO, today trying to walk back his comments.
If I was misunderstood or if I said the wrong thing, I'm glad that I have the opportunity to correct it. I'm only focused on one thing, and that's better caring for veterans.
Republican Senator Roy Blunt demanding McDonald's resignation. Democrat Tammy Duckworth, who lost both legs in Iraq, calling the comments tone deaf.
I just thought, what a stupid thing to say.
In the wake of the VA scandal 2 years ago.
Delayed care is denied care. And it's just not fair.
The agency says its wait times have improved in many places.
Still, despite the VA's hiring thousands more doctors and nurses, this recent government watchdog report criticizes the agency for its piecemeal approach, insisting veterans may continue to experience delays in accessing care.
Late today, McDonald releasing this statement expressing deep regret for his comments. But for many veterans, frustration remains.
I feel like I was treated that we're just expendable.
A renewed fight over improving care for millions who depend on the VA. Peter Alexander, NBC News, Washington.
Tonight, Donald Trump, the presumptive Republican nominee for president, is dredging up a false conspiracy theory about the death of a close friend of Bill and Hillary Clinton. Vince Foster committed suicide in 1993, yet for years rumors have persisted on the fringes that maybe he was murdered. Multiple investigations have found that's not true. But that didn't stop Trump from insisting there's something fishy about it. Here's NBC's Andrea Mitchell.
Tonight, Hillary Clinton with a new video accusing Donald Trump of wanting to profit from the housing collapse.
If there is a bubble burst, as they call it, you know, you can make a lot of money.
He thought he could take advantage of it to make some money for himself.
But Trump once again taking more personal shots, bringing up old conspiracy theories about the death of close Clinton friend and aide Vince Foster, telling the Washington Post he knew everything that was going on, and then all of a sudden he committed suicide, Trump calling his death very fishy. An independent counsel's investigation long ago ruled Foster's death was a suicide. Bill Clinton on Friday.
You think the stuff I said about her is bad? They accused me of murder.
Trump maintaining his new shots at the Clintons' personal history are counterpunches.
I don't like doing that, but I have no choice.
But it's all very different from what he was saying back in the 90s, including attacking Bill Clinton's accusers.
Paula Jones is a loser.
And this on his own political prospects.
Can you imagine how controversial I'd be? You think about him with the women. How about me with the women?
And the Vince Foster conspiracy theory, just Trump's latest, including the Obama birther controversy.
I was born in Hawaii.
I thought he was born in this country. Right now, I have some real doubts.
Clinton tonight refusing to respond to Trump's new attacks.
What about these attacks?
Trump is a human wrecking ball. He's going to hurt himself with some voters with these attacks, to be sure. He's also going to hurt Hillary Clinton. Both of these candidates know that this is going to be a slugfest.
A risky strategy for two historically unpopular candidates. Our new NBC News SurveyMonkey online poll showing 6 in 10 Americans dislike both.
Tonight, Trump responding to that Clinton attack about the housing collapse, saying he is a businessman who knows how to make a lot of money by making good situations out of bad situations. Lester?
All right, Andrew Mitchell in California this evening. Thank you. A new warning from a top CDC official. There could be thousands more Zika cases in the U.S. than the 544 already reported because most people with the virus don't show symptoms. Still, as we've been reporting, the risk of contracting it can be high. So with summer approaching, what's the best defense against Zika-carrying mosquitoes? NBC's Kerry Sanders looks at which bug sprays are the best bets.
Factories that make mosquito repellent are in overdrive tonight, even before summer begins. None more concerned about Zika and potential birth defects than pregnant women like Elena Marte.
I try to make sure that I don't use a mosquito repellent that has a lot of chemicals in it.
While avoiding chemicals might sound like a good idea for mothers-to-be, new tests of 16 repellents by Consumer Reports show only one natural product made the top three against Zika mosquitoes. The other products don't last as long.
People tend to think that the natural products are safer, but the three ingredients that we found to be effective, DEET, picaridin, and oil of lemon eucalyptus, they're safe for everybody, for children, for pregnant women, for everyone.
Concentrations matter. For instance, with DEET, Consumer Reports recommends 15 to 30%. Top medical groups agree the chemicals are safe.
Consumer Reports says sprays are better than lotions and no need to oversaturate. The spray lasts up to 7 hours, and in some cases, spray over your clothes so mosquitoes can't bite through.
We still can't counsel a patient with complete precision about what are her risks if she gets bitten, what are the risks to the baby, and how bad may the consequences be.
Doctors say bug spray now a crucial part of prenatal care. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Miami.
Still ahead, the silent illness that's missed or misdiagnosed 80% of the time. 80%. Celiac disease can cause everything from stomach pain to stunted growth in children. How you can tell if you or your family need to be tested. Also, an incredible American comeback story that'll knock your socks off. We're back with a closer look at a disease suffered by millions and often misdiagnosed by doctors. You may know the name celiac disease, and you may know gluten-free and even think of it as a fad diet. But for people who have celiac disease, it's life-changing, as is the test that can help them figure it all out. Here's NBC's Morgan Radford.
Gluten-free products might seem like a food fad.
Well, the show, we should say, is about gluten-free beers.
But for 3 million Americans, it's their lifeline.
In a whole bunch of yummy flavors.
Initially overlooked or misdiagnosed in 80% of cases, celiac disease is an autoimmune reaction to gluten, a protein that's found in wheat, barley, and rye. But it can cause more than just stomach problems. NBC News medical contributor Dr. Natalie Azar is a rheumatologist and sees it often in her patients.
They might present with rashes. They could present with arthritis, but actually end up having celiac disease.
Jessica Hansen says even with stomach pain, it took her 6 years to get diagnosed.
No one thought to test me for celiac disease. So I had really intense stomach pain. I had bloating, all sorts of digestive issues.
In her celiac support group, she met gluten-free baker Antonella Zongari, whose symptoms weren't so typical.
What were your symptoms?
I had growing up malnutrition, headaches, extreme fatigue.
And children with celiac can suffer stunted growth. So who should be tested for celiac besides those with a family history? People with other autoimmune disorders like type 1 diabetes. And those with symptoms including unexplained fatigue, weight loss, weak bones, depression, and infertility. Then a blood test and endoscopy. For accurate results, you have to keep eating gluten. The only cure is getting rid of gluten completely. These days, not so hard.
And it tastes like the same, if not better, honestly.
Yes.
Morgan Radford, NBC News, Brooklyn, New York.
Important information there. Coming up next, the music legend hitting a major milestone today. Federal prosecutors said today they'll seek the death penalty against the accused gunman in the Charleston church massacre. Dylan Roof is accused of slaughtering black parishioners during Bible study last June at the historic African-American Mother Emanuel Church. On a very different note, a milestone being marked in the music world today. A lot of people wishing a very happy birthday, 75th birthday, to Bob Dylan. Still going strong, still touring. The times, they are a-changing, but one thing isn't. Bob Dylan, still beloved by fans worldwide. A growing number of millennials aren't leaving the nest. A new Pew study found for the first time in 130 years, millennials are more likely to live with their parents than with anyone else. Almost a third of them. Slightly fewer now live with a spouse or a partner. The rest live under other circumstances, alone or with roommates, with other relatives, or in group settings like dormitories. Coming up next, how socks are helping an American town in tough times pull itself up. Finally, tonight, something great is afoot in what was once the sock capital of the world. That's right, socks, a whole industry unto itself that kept a town on pace until it all started to unravel. Now, as our Cynthia McFadden reports, a new idea there is inspiring America.
It used to be, if you wore a pair of white athletic socks, they were probably made here in Fort Payne, Alabama.
We were producing, back in those days, anywhere from 15 to 20,000 dozen pairs of socks a week.
And that's just what Terry Locklear's company was making. At its peak, Fort Payne had over 120 sock mills. Half the town worked in one. But 10 years ago, it all crashed. A combination of free trade agreements and cheap labor, driving the business to China and Central America.
A pair of socks would cost them a quarter, and us, it would be a dollar. We couldn't match that.
Their mill and the town were hanging by a thread. That's when Locklear's daughter, Gina, came to him with a Technicolor idea.
I really wanted to do something to create awareness about what had happened in our town, but also for manufacturers across, you know, the U.S.
Her proposal? Start making high-end organic socks, the kind that sell for 14 bucks a pair.
What'd he say?
He said, no.
But Gina prevailed, converting machines that once made plain white socks into ones that spit out colorful organic designs. And in the past few years, her brands have caught the eye of top fashion labels and even Martha Stewart.
And are you making some money?
Yes, we're yes, a little. We are, yes.
There the sock comes.
Sock!
There's a real feeling of satisfaction.
I know, exactly.
Even more satisfying, putting 25 people back to work, nearly twice that during the busy season. Van Hughes started in the mills when he was just 14.
In Gina's mind, she had a dream, and now it's come true, and it's just moving forward, and it's fantastic.
And what about her once skeptical dad?
Do you wear the socks?
I do.
You got them on?
I do.
There's a good one.
Those socks helping a town get back on its feet. Cynthia McFadden, NBC News, Fort Payne, Alabama.
What a great American comeback story. That's going to do it for us on a Tuesday. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching. Good night.